This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to 360 Biz. My name is Teboho Mafodi. You tuned to CliffCentral.com. Another exciting and beautiful show. Beautiful weather it is. I'm not alone in studio. I'm with, you know what, yeah, no, today I'm wondering how is the person going to keep up, especially with the brothers that I have. It's quite vocal. I mean, you know, and you know, being in the space that I'm in, the creative space. I mean, people buy you before they buy what you sell. I mean, we're with one brother that is actually practicing that. This brother came up, rocked up in a suit, eh? So now you ask yourself, or maybe we're supposed to have worn a suit, or what is it that we're supposed to have worn, Mister? Get things done,
sir.
you're my boy.
You know the funny thing, we're actually in class together.
Really?
Every day this gentleman came to class, I idolized him. Crisp, white shirt, no homo.
the class you're talking about, is it high school?
No. Business. We did some business.
Oh, okay.
We don't want to promote the company.
Let's keep it clean, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Let's keep it clean.
Yeah. Nah, this I can attest to this man's... it's a smart man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I'm shy now. Yeah, I'm shy. I don't even know what I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
I've got someone already.
Listen to this man's voice. What did you decide to prepare your voice since now you're coming on radio? What's happening?
Yes. I brought a special one just for you, Tewo. Just for you and the listeners.
Says men that have faces for radio. So, you know, I mean, talking about, about faces for radio. Bulelan, I was listening to your CD, dude. I want us to maybe later on the show, I mean, play one of your tracks.
That would be fantastic.
For people that are listening. I think it's part of the feature. I want us to every week probably play a track because I think you've got some good content going on there. I mean, you know what, it's really creatively done.
Oh, wow.
I see what you meant when you said last week you wanted to sell gold.
I want to sell minimum 40,000 copies. And funny thing, I posted it up on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
There's one gentleman who's a famous musician.
Okay.
So I'm telling him what the dream is. Good. I want to sell this because I'm selling inspiration and motivation. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I want to sell hope to people, and I want to sell nothing less than 40,000 copies.
Yeah.
Because I'm like an artist. I'm registered with Samro. You understand? So he's like to me, my man, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, why is like, we even struggling to sell 6,000. So why are you going to sell? And I mean, I've been in business for a little bit now. So, you know, when you hear such things, you just keep on walking.
You know how this man decided to go about being creative. I mean, people, Samro are going to registering songs. I mean, he goes to Samro to register audiobooks.
Yeah, no, that lady looked at me and was like, is the instrumental? I was like, yes. Are the vocals? I'm like, yes. Are you singing? No. I was like, okay, cool, it's fine. We'll put it under mood music. And I fought with her a little bit, but I was like, no, some things you change from inside.
Is it?
Yeah, but I think what the guy is doing really well is that he's really publicizing his goals. And I think there's a lot of power to doing that.
Yeah.
Once you've put it out there and you've told people, I want to sell 40,000, you can't sort of sit back.
Yeah.
You got to make it happen.
And yeah. Because
no,
now everyone is waiting.
Let's everyone. You're just not disappointing yourself.
Definitely. You know, I mean, talk about being creative. I mean, the creative industries refer to economic activities. I mean, that trade with creativity, knowledge, and information. I mean, what brings them together is what they trade with creative assets in the form of intellectual property. I mean, that's what definitely you're doing with your CD. I mean, South Africa's culture and creative industries are central to strengthening the country's industrial base and contributes to socio-economic transformation. Although creative economy includes various sectors such as architecture, arts, crafts, film, and music, I mean, today's focus will be advertising and marketing. Joining me in studio, the man that we've heard with a good voice that we've said he's got a face for radio, is actually the founder and CEO of Olive Communications and Media Group, Karabo Song. Karabo, do you want to say hi to our listeners first?
What's up?
Say hi and tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
My name is Karabo Songo. As said before, I'm the group founder. and there's nothing phenomenal about founding a company, but actually running it and getting it to a decent size and decent revenue, and it been involved in some very important projects. That's really the game.
Is it?
And that's been my job. Currently, I'm the group CEO, so I focus on bringing in clients and really driving the strategic direction of the business. So what we get involved in, the kind of people we have, what kind of culture we want to build, etc.
It's quite interesting. I mean, obviously, I mean, last week I remember as we had Bulelani, we were talking about some of this thing, but now Bulelani is actually the CEO of IAF.
IAF
brand engineers. I mean, what is IAF? Okay, I'm thinking, you know this company that.
Oh no, I know. Which is
pyramid schemes.
Hey, we'll buy you a car. Groceries,
Can be a millionaire tomorrow.
I'm actually thinking. So you know how he actually pronounced this company? I was actually thinking, it's actually that company. So
Not even.
So then, what is it that you do, Bulelani, in that company?
I mean, we are now integrating into being a brand agency, fully fledged branding agency. Working on campaigns and that stuff. But what I've been doing for the past 9 years has been print. So print predominantly in the digital space.
Mm-hmm.
Your billboards and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Vehicle wraps, like your signage and your corporate clothing. Just basic marketing collateral and marketing material.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw a need to then go the more digital and creative route with being an agency and developing the brand, or rather developing the business. Because I'd like to think of myself as a creative, so it kind of actually had to work. But I think what the delay was over the years was there was one man pioneering this whole entire thing with no individuals that actually had value to add to the growth of this business.
But then what actually inspired you to get into this industry, though?
Nah, man. 9 years ago, I saw someone who was wearing a T-shirt printed on my Mchitaseka. I'm from the township. I saw someone wearing a printed T-shirt, and I just thought to myself, I mean, how do you even print a T-shirt? And then I started making inquiries, and then I started printing T-shirts. But I mean, it actually didn't fly as well as I thought it would. Because my first deal ever in business nine and a half years ago was for a school called Roadfield, and it was like 15,000. Oh, 15,000 nine and a half years ago. So I actually thought that the growth trajectory of my business was just going to fly sky high. It just plummeted. I mean, I was running an Intinky Fair for four and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
Before this could actually take off and be what it is. We're actually growing. These guys are doing what we want to do. These guys.
Yeah. You know these guys you talk about. What inspired you to get into this business?
My story is actually a funny one, because I wanted to be a TV presenter. I just got in there, got good grades, and I thought, that looks fun. And it was during those days where they had the Fanta Roadshow and they used to search for the TV presenter. And then I caught wind of how much the TV presenters earn, and I knew that it was not going to fly. Then I changed course. So I registered for a BEAC, which is basically your CA qualification at VIRTS.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the line, I knew it wasn't really for me. And I was lucky enough to bump into some people who were in the ad industry. At some of the larger agencies, gave me a little bit of background information. And then the 1 year, I decided within a space of a couple of weeks, I'm going to change course of my life. And I'm passionate about this marketing field. I'm obsessed.
I'm still kind of getting over the fact of you wanted to be a presenter.
Yes.
Then the problem is that you just had to see the salaries. And you got traumatized for days.
And they were expecting things I was not about to deliver, like six packs, being buff, all those kind of stuff.
But now maybe a question to both of you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys think the creative industry is adequately supported in South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, if I would take a bash at that one first, I think there is a huge market for it. The South African market is about 42 billion rand spent that client gets involved in. And Africa offers also a very big pie for us to get involved in. And I think when we speak about creative, we need to be a bit broader than the actual ads themselves, because there's creativity in so much. I guess most of the time I'm trying to convince my clients that, you know, the world would be a different place if us creatives were not around to make it interesting through the different mediums that we get involved in. But there's definitely a huge market, and I think it's going to continue to grow simply because products and services will never stop being sold.
But now, I mean, speaking of the industry size, doesn't really say whether are we adequately supported or what.
We are. I think that as our economy grows and as we build more companies, we will be adequately supported. The one thing that we do need to do, though, is we do need to bring back the whole notion of South African companies being handled by South African agencies.
Okay, Bulela, I'm coming with that one, because clearly it seems you've got a very loud point.
Yeah. No, man, like, I mean, you know, taking from you know, a lot of the agencies, when they were South African started, they sell out. They're bought out by these large corporates from, well, who are international. Mm-hmm. Most of the agencies this side, I mean, they've fallen prey to that. I mean, I think maybe there might be a few Joe Public or so, but
yeah,
quite a lot of them have. And but I think from my side, I'd like to see the growth or the entrance into the market of a lot more 100% black owned agencies. Because I believe, Guti, I mean, companies, you know, Olive Communications and the sorts, you know, we've got a creative element to bring out there. So whenever I switch on TV or listen to radio and you find these international corporates coming into this country and they're telling our story, I'm like, but I live that story. You know, what? How more creative do you get? I was that little kid playing with the brick, so why can't I tell that story? Why does, for instance...
That's a beautiful ad, by the way.
Yeah.
That's so, a beautiful ad.
But if I might jump in there, just to go back to your question, when you ask about whether they're supported enough, it's a broad question. The question for most agencies or for most companies to grow in South Africa is, do they have the funding? And ultimately, as you grow bigger and bigger, you're going to need funding. Mm-hmm. And with South African bank regulations and their attitude towards creative industries, you're not about to secure funding quite easily.
Yeah.
And if you are from a previously disadvantaged background, even worse, because you do not have that ability to borrow from someone who believes in you, which is
so
another
now,
avenue.
So now what you're saying, Karabo, is that the creative industry is mainly backed up by how deep your pocket is.
To a certain extent, there's the transformation debate, mm-hmm. firstly. Mm. And then from there, there's a skills and a capacity debate. And those two go hand in hand. You can't separate them, you know. So you can't say, just because you're transformed, I'm going to give you a 100 million rand account, you know. You need to be transformed and have the capability, the skills, the passion to roll out great work. Then only will you then meet that criteria. So we sort of, most people are stuck in that... They can't jump over purely because you need the investment prior to you being great. And it's just not there in SA. It's for the very few privileged.
But then I think I'd like to, you know, taking from what Garabu was saying, I'm not playing in that large space yet. But I know that, you know, I can attest to what he's saying with the finance and all that stuff. I mean, when you walk into that bank manager's office, he really thinks that you're a fairy. And you're coming there to tell him, so what are you going to design? You know, sometimes I have interactions with clients where you really have a beautiful and a creative product. And, you know, sit there with the client and you do the presentation. The other guy would come in, you know, with the VFX, he'd do his part, I'd do my part. Someone else would come in and do their part. Client would be like, but no, man, can't we just make it like this? And you feel like, but you're crashing the whole thing. You know, there's still that element with, you know, creatives, creativity is not really a job or really, I think in the space that I'm in, but you know, it really is, because it adds color. I mean, just look at this room. It adds color, it adds life. For the mere fact that there's marketing, there's selling, there's some form of transaction with goods.
But you know, guys, speaking about that, I mean, there's something that I've realized. Who the hell said creatives need to be looking weird? Sometimes having weird hair, dressing up weirdly, yeah. And who said? I mean, right now, if ever you're coming looking like me and you're saying you're a creative, people don't take you serious.
I think
who
that
said I can't be a creative in a suit.
Absolutely. I think the one thing that drives the perception mm-hmm. is believing that marketing is not a science. It is a very good science. Actually, in fact, brands sit on companies' balance sheet with a specific value, you know. Mm-hmm. You can, during your valuation, that's what you do. Yeah. That's actually what creates yeah. most of your goodwill. So it's definitely a science. Where we get it wrong is that we have built this perception about creatives that they're not serious about business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what we need to fix. And it's a global problem. It's not a South African problem only. A lot of chief marketing officers in global companies fight to actually get support from mm-hmm. their different boards, because what we essentially have at the end of the day, when we stand in front of shareholders and we present and we say, this is the strategic direction, we only have an idea, yes, research to back it up. Yes, we have applied a number of things to make sure we minimize risk for the business. But essentially, at the end of the day, it's literally an idea. And if you can't get people to believe in the idea, then you've got a challenge. But here's the funny part. Sometimes ideas turn around businesses for the best.
Yeah, no, it's true. Mm.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, Karabo, you spoke of turning around of businesses. Maybe Bulelan, you answer this first. When was your big break in the creative space?
Sure. Quite recent, actually. It was in 2013.
Okay.
2013, when we actually were starting to break in. Not into the larger market, but we're starting to break in, and I was confident that in the next 5 year, the 5 year goal plan, we'll be able to actually be that agency that we want to be,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be able to grow we'll be able to grow at the pace that we want to grow at, because then now we started off in print, but ideally I'd wanted to break the company into three divisions,
okay.
which is namely print. So mm-hmm. we're running all of our mm-hmm. prints, digital print in-house, mm-hmm. and then we'll be able to then also focus on the advertising, you know, the brand development, the mm-hmm. brand talks, the engagements, the commercials and all that stuff in another department. Then we'll focus on online strategies and online media. So you see, it hasn't been a from here to there type of a journey, like a quick one,
mm-hmm.
but it's been that development, because when you've been in print for a while, to move to another, you know, it goes back to what Karabo was saying, you need capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So I was that guy who was loud. Why can't you give us businesses, because you know, whatever from the township. And then I got business, I choked. I got business and I choked because we couldn't deliver. There was no capacity. The designers that I had, you know, the designers that we had, that they were only good or were only used to layouts.
Yeah.
You know, not developing creative illustrations and creative concepts to be able to present to the client. Then you're sitting there with the client and they're saying, but we gave you a shot. Then you have to pull yourself back from the equation, build your foundation and build your systems, but then invest in guys that are qualified, guys that are experienced,
mm-hmm.
and then you sort of like then become the executive creative director. You just lead the company in the direction it's supposed to go.
If you ever just tuned in, I mean, you're still tuned into 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central with myself, Tebogo Mafodi. I'm sitting with Karabo Songo, the founder and CEO for Olive Communication and Marketing Group. And I'm sitting, obviously, with my boy, Bulelani Bwelabala, the CEO of IAF Brand Engineers. I need to pronounce that very carefully. Because it sounds otherwise. Yeah, and more than anything, we're talking, I mean, the South African creative space. I mean, the opportunities and the challenges that are in that space. I mean, if ever you want to join in on the discussion, you're allowed to join us. Our studio line is 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is @cliffcentral.com. We're on Facebook. Our Facebook handle is Cliff Central. We're on WeChat. Our WeChat ID is Cliff Central. And my social media phone is @DeboHoma40. Do gentlemen have Twitter handles?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is @BulelaniBala. Yeah.
Oh, Bulelani Bala.
Simple as that.
Oh, Bulelani. Okay. Karabo?
My handle is @Mr_K_S.
What?
Yeah. Mr. KS.
Oh, Mr. KS.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I was almost.
Mr. KS.
I was almost right up.
You almost went off the rails there. Very unradio.
I almost became uncensored. So then, Karabo, when was your big break?
We had a break. Then, when we started, we sort of started off with that one project that gives you the confidence to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lost it. And in 2009, in the very same year, we decided as a team that we are definitely not going back, and all we did was pitch. Actually, in fact, our first major client only gave us a job to do, can you believe it, a roll-up banner. A roll-up banner was our first order.
Really?
As a business, yeah. From Tiger Brands.
Wow.
And they were desperate, by the way. They did not have a choice but us. Because we're the only people that were still in the office on Friday at 6 o'clock.
So that really came through for you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Guys, can we discuss ads?
Yes.
I mean, I've seen some stupid ads and some very good ads. So, and speaking of ads, I mean, one of the most interesting thing that has always disturbed me with ads, especially recently. I don't know whether it has been a growing trend within advertising agencies or within, you know, within ads or the ads of singing.
Yeah.
You know?
And dancing.
Do you want to tell me that we sing for everything? We're dancing for everything. We're dancing for soap. We're dancing for food. Have we conformed to those standards of creativity?
I think the final product of what everyone sees as an ad, it's a marriage between what the client is willing to accept and what the agency has proposed. So I know that there are some extremely great agencies that have produced some crappy work just because of a bad client judgment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, most agencies are coming from a point of view where, over and above being brand custodians, at a higher level, they are service providers and they need to toe the line. But with that being said, you do get bad creatives, creatives that don't understand the inside of a market.
Mm-mm.
And one of the reasons why, as a business, we quickly established ourselves is that when we initially launched, our strongest USP was that we are the connoisseurs of the black consumer market.
Okay, you see now, you just spoke a lot of English now. You are the one. do you hear what this man said?
I hear what this man is saying.
Yeah.
He's insulting us.
But it's insight. It's either you get it or you don't. And sometimes there's a thin line between being brilliant and completely missing the point.
Yeah.
And I guess the professionals and experience teaches you how to cross over regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's there's a very thin line.
Okay, so now I've described the most stupidest ad I've seen. Which stupidest ad you've seen and you felt, you know what, we could have done a better job here?
There's so many of them. I see them every day. Let me think of a client I don't want to pitch to.
No. Even if you don't make mention of the client, you can just describe the ad or what was happening in this ad. I'm sure we'll catch on fast.
Look, I prefer not to mention anything at this point in time.
Yeah, it could possibly jeopardize.
Yeah, it could possibly get complicated. And clients remember these things, you know? Yeah,
really?
Like, they just, you walk into the boardroom and they tell you, yeah, we heard you on Cliff. Yeah, what did you think about our business? And now you're here pitching.
No, Angela, you could actually turn things around. He says, I'm actually here to pitch so that we transform and turn that around.
Yeah, we could also do that.
So it could actually work to your advantage.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, Budenan, the stupidest ad you've seen?
Sure. Man, my memory just went blank. Because I don't really pay that much attention in terms of TV. Because we haven't broken into that ad agency or whatever, World TV at this moment. Yeah. But I could attest to what Karabo was saying when he talks about being the connoisseurs of the black market. Because where it also hit me was when we were doing insights. We're actually being procured to do insights for ad agencies.
Mm-hmm. Insights or insights?
No, insights. Oh, like okay. Consumer insights.
Oh, okay.
Township insights. Oh, and yes. I mean, you'd find with some of the ads that they put out there, I can't name the, some of the ads that are put out there, the insight would be twisted. You know, it wouldn't even sell whatever it is that you were showing to them. But more than anything for me, then it resonated. It's okay, cool. Yeah. We're doing this thing for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They think that we are capable of giving them proper insights. Then why don't we then build these insights for ourselves? So that we can then develop the market that we are playing in, because there's certain insights that we're able to give, especially when it comes to, you know, township entrepreneurship, when it comes to education in the township, when it comes to, there's certain elements in terms of that township market that we've got a hold on because of the different engagement platforms that we have going on. So it's easy to filter. So it's easy to filter in that information. Now I thought to myself, no. But I mean, if we are developing ourselves and we are developing ourselves as a company and as an agent, then we are, it will be easier for us to be able to sell off that story way better because we are in there.
And I think the important thing, as you develop all these insights and you work with brands, it's the ultimate question is, what are you productizing for your agency?
Yeah.
And how are you making your agency great and stand out and keep delivering those insights?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, the basics of business is really simple. You need to be consistent in the service that you're offering. So doesn't matter how much of it you're doing, you just need to be brilliant. Now, in order to be brilliant and be consistent, you need a system or a service or a product that you have tied down to an absolute T and you're really rocking it. But away from bad ads into good ads, I can share some references.
Okay. Okay, this one I want to hear.
I was quite impressed when the guys from Sanlam launched their campaign regarding, I forgot the payoff line, but it was regarding the investment and the development of Sandton as an area, the richest square mile. That brand ad was the first brand ad in a while that really hit home. You know, it really delivered in terms of what it was meant to do. It had the organizational affinity. It also spoke about, it landed the message so well. I was really impressed by the guys who did that work.
So, but Mulelan, you can't say you love this.
No. I like that ad. I actually love that ad because that ad for me provoked a lot in me.
Yeah.
You know, having it being illustrated that way. But I mean, I'm a huge fan of Nando's ads. And I actually like the new Coke ad. I think that was done by a local company. I love the new Coke ad. Simple, beautiful, you know, with the concept of the emojis and all the stuff with the messages. But I love the gentleman who also did it. So, yeah.
So, is it about the ad or is it about the gentleman?
No. The ad. The ad is a beautiful ad. And is to it? Think and to know that it's locally produced or has some local element for me, it's a nice initiative. Yeah.
The interesting thing about ads is that to a large extent, there's been a lot of research done into what makes people actually connect with advertising.
Mm.
And there's a lot of theories. We are just not pinpoint certain what exactly it is that makes us feel emotional about specific ads and completely miss the point with others.
No. I think more than anything, it's what you're saying, it's quite interesting. I actually want to delve into something different. I want us to discuss how everyone all of a sudden they think they're creative, and all of a sudden everyone is going to marketing, is going to advertising, is going to all these things. But let's play an ad first, and then from there we'll come back.
CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, gold MacBook, and you, silver MacBook, and you, space gray MacBook.
Let me finish.
You're all just so beautiful. Just look at your 12-inch retina display and force touch trackpad. Sleep now, my lovelies. I need to tell South Africa where to buy you. Introducing the all-new 12-inch MacBook, now thinner and lighter than ever, and available at iStore. Why would you go anywhere else? Visit myistore.co.za for more info. T's and C's apply.
This is CliffCentral.com.
You're still tuned into CliffCentral.com. You're still listening to 360 Biz right here in studio. We're talking about the creative industry, and I'm still sitting with Karabo Songo, the CEO for Olive Communications. And I'm sitting with Bulelani. We're actually talking the creative industry. So now, guys, before we actually went to an end, one thing that I wanted to discuss with you is that everyone, all of a sudden, they think they're creative. All of a sudden, everyone thinks that they can do marketing, they can do all these things. So, I mean, why is this the current trend that is coming up today? Then next year it's changing to something else? Because it really disturbs me that, you know what, I mean, some people, or let me say, some of us have actually worked hard to,
I think it's just the fact that we work in a very low barrier industry. So you don't need much to start an agency, really. You need a couple of friends. You need a guy who's very good at presenting. You need a guy who can structurally put ideas together for them to make sense. And then from there, a couple of creatives who come together. But now the challenge is when you are winging it,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you get it right, but the more you work with more established businesses that require you to understand the science behind the profession, that is where you'll fall flat, my friend.
No, I mean, he's telling the truth. I mean, I found myself in a situation, I'm not sure you're familiar with the gentleman, where I had to be studying the work of the gentleman, Martin Lindstrom.
Yes.
You know, as a brand specialist. I admire that guy. You know, I've been reading biology, you know, I'm reading Brandwashed. And I mean, the insights, especially from a neurological perspective, you know, when you then talk into the neurology of why people buy into brands, or rather why people buy certain products over others. And I think it's so beautiful, actually, when you actually look at variable case studies, you actually start to see where this thing came from. So when you're sitting there with clients and you sell it to them, what I've seen work for me is that when you're sitting there with clients and you sell it to them from that aspect or that perspective with case studies, it becomes easier to engage the client, because I think sometimes there's a disconnect between the client and the creative.
And to build on to that, what you're facing is that marketing is forever evolving.
Yeah.
So as people come into the environment and try and establish themselves, most people, because they're not moving with the trends, they haven't been in the game for a while, they don't have the insights, the research, the support to deliver great work, they're literally, for lack of better words, offering all solutions. Because what you need to consistently be involved in understanding how marketing is evolving and communications on a daily basis. I mean, if somebody told you about internet radio five, eight years ago, 10 years ago, you'd be thinking, nah, it's not going to happen, really. But today, it's a different story, you know, and so many more platforms.
You speak about evolving, Garabo. I mean, is there a huge difference between marketing and advertising?
Absolutely.
Okay, can you describe that for us? Because for somebody that is listening, at some point, I thought it's one of the same thing as well.
Yes. Yeah. So what marketing is it involves the functioning. It involves the functioning of the various business functions, such as the product or service that you're selling, where it is that you're distributing. So if you look at your entire value chain, how do you actually get your service or your product to customer? Then from there, it also looks at price dynamics. So in what you're selling, where exactly are you priced? Because price is a very big factor in anything that is being sold. And then from there, it involves the promotion. Now, the promotion is of two things. The promotion can involve the advertising itself, or it can involve other types of elements, whereas in you have promotional pricing, you have point of sale, you have a whole host of other things that support your business when you are not running major campaigns. Now, advertising, it's basically, in simple terms, is utilizing mass media to reach your target audience. So what can be considered as TV now, YouTube has become a mass medium now.
Huge,
you know, and other types of mediums, radio, TV, etc. That is what would be regarded as advertising. And that's how you essentially, over time, differentiate between the two, and also a more direct definition of advertising, it's paid for communication. So if you're paying, you're advertising. Doesn't matter how much, $100, $100 million. If you're paying, you're in the advertising. You know, you are. It's it's a textbook definition. It's not even a joke.
So this brother is bringing textbook definition. Bulelani, you more in an interesting type of advertising. In fact, yours I find it very complicated. Because the other day I was driving and I saw you guys pulling up a trailer.
Yeah, outdoor media.
Outdoor media and whatever. And there's a lot of bylaws around that.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to tell us a bit about that?
I mean, there's quite a bit. I mean, in terms of, it goes by municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, erecting signage or billboards and all that stuff, the rental regulations, there's quite a bit going on there. But I'd safely say that most of the outdoor trailers that you see are illegal.
and billboards.
Yeah. So, because now another thing, the other day I saw traffic officers. There was this one that was standing on the road. So these guys wanted to pull it. So this guy had this huge chain on that trailer.
Yeah.
So the closest thing these metro guys could do there to get and just push it.
Yeah, that's all they do actually with trailers. Yeah. That's all they do. They push them over. The guys would come maybe if they notice a day after, a week after. You just come, you push it back up, and then the show goes on. I think maybe it goes back to that guerrilla marketing where you've made up in your mind that, okay, cool. Yeah. I'll jump in, I'll do this. But I think there was a certain point where when we were advertising some of our products and we had signs up where you actually had to knock yourself over the head and say, maybe not there because that's a national road. Now you're calling trouble. So we had to pull one or two out. But I mean, it's a fair game in how you also position it. I mean, I know that in the municipality that I'm in, if I play anywhere within, you know, anywhere outside and it's municipal property, there might be a bit of issue there.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the ways that we have found is that to work with property owners, you know, it's been easier to work with property owners. So even if the sign goes over and there's an element of the government property there, it becomes easier because you can leverage and say that the owner is there. Because it becomes a little bit hard as well, you know, being a signage business that's branching out into advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you want to be the likes of your those other guys, don't want to name them, those other guys that are big in Bryanston, mm-hmm. You know, they've got the budgets to be able to erect whatever, follow whatever laws and buy that spot or buy that patch of land, which is what some of those guys do.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes you don't have that capacity because, I mean, to erect a billboard alone is anything between 50 to about 100 or 200,000 just for the stand and the frame alone. To get the print up there is a now totally different story. Mm-hmm. And being someone who wants to break in, I think, especially in marketing and in the space, the creative space that you're in, I think being a pioneer as well, you're just going to fall. You forge your way through. Bakthola song apagat.
Yeah, no, it's
then so long as the thing is, then so long as the song apagat outward, you know, because if it works, then it works. But you have to do that because no one is going to notice you at the end of the day. Because I feel like to a certain degree, we've got too many billboards out, and we've got too many, you know, it clutters the mind. And it's the simple things sometimes that grab the attention of, that grab the attention of people that, you know, hit. I mean, Seth Godin was. You know, speaks about this as well, developing unique brands, marketing strategies and all that stuff. Sometimes it's in the small things that change people's perspective or change people's view about a certain brand.
Mm. So then now, Garabo, tell me, I mean, is social media a big part of the creative space or how does it work?
Social media is massive, man. It's just, and the scary part is that it's getting bigger every day. So what you have is essentially you have more people being able to be connected to a specific platform that they regularly check, and it's outwardly. So we're starting to reach areas where before it was a bit of a huge cost, a problem to actually reach, and we're starting to engage them in their own, I think I saw a term the other day, P2P, you know, where you are literally having this personal communication, you know, where as in the people is one person concentrating on your piece of communication and actually giving you an opinion. So we definitely are not going to stop the growth of social media. It's just going to get more and more. And as Africa, as the continent gets more connected, as we are able to drive down the cost of data, as we are able to drive down the cost of literally engaging, it will just explode. And I believe that is what is going to be part of what Africa coming into its own and becoming its own powerhouse. The ability to reach all our people online, and social media will play a big part there.
Sure. I think, sorry to cut you. You see, when you spoke about data, you struck a nerve.
Yeah.
Because I woke up this morning, my data had disappeared. But that's a conversation for another time.
So, but has that disturbed the old traditional form of marketing and advertising?
Completely, completely. Even globally, even here in South Africa, you just see traditional mediums are getting less budget and digital mediums are getting more budget because they are more accountable. People are able to say, I have spent $1,000 and for my $1,000, I've reached this 800 people. Wow. And from this 800 people, there's 120 of them that have gone into my website. And from the 120, there's 60 of them that actually bought my product. So you're building a whole entire communication channel. And that's the power that you have, the accountability and the its ability to reach the consumer on all sorts of mobile devices that they may have. And that's really something. The digital age is something else. It's phenomenal to watch. And here's the crazy part. It breaks its own records every day.
What do you mean by that? It breaks its records.
So today who could have ever thought that we could have more than 1 billion people on a social media platform?
Yeah.
No. Now, all of a sudden, we could have 2 billion. I don't think people understand. I mean, they say that at some point, there's going to be about 800 or 900 million dead people's profiles on Facebook. That's how bad. We are so interconnected that even before life, people are setting up profiles for their babies and their kids on Facebook.
So it means the kid can always go in and... But now who's going to be accepting that friend request from the baby?
let me give you guys a very odd idea, but I see it's becoming quite popular. So what a lot of parents are doing is that the minute their children are born, they start taking pictures of them, sending them notes. They create an email, maybe on Gmail, Yahoo, wherever, and they keep on sending them these memories over the years. And when the child turns 16 or 18, whatnot, they'll have content, but also they'll just have memories day to day, week to week, of how they actually grew up, which I think is quite phenomenal.
I've never heard of that one. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, it's actually quite phenomenal, but we are literally documenting our lives every single day, and that's power.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, the ability to publish, you know, your life. Yeah.
Maybe we are all authors now.
Yeah. Someone was saying, Guti, you know, we're authors in a sense because you're publishing stuff each and every day.
But at the same time, that explains why there's lawsuits going left, right, and center, others getting fired, and now with employers as well going onto this online creative space to check for potential candidates.
Yeah.
If ever you're looking for a job, to say, what are you posting? What are you saying to people?
Personal branding, my friend. Personal branding.
Yeah. Because I think to a certain degree, we didn't understand or think it was going to get like that. We thought that social media is its own space. So I could swear at you on social media, but when I meet you, shake your hand. But as time moved on, it's a reflection of your personality or your character or who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot then engage you there without engaging you here or vice versa.
And I mean, people disappear at work from the office and then somebody tags them having the time of their life somewhere. So digital is definitely becoming very complicated.
you know, speaking about that one, I know a couple of people that have lost their job because of this.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. But also... It's not only the light-hearted stuff. It's where you begin to discover people's personalities. Mm-hmm. So if somebody in a very serious position or in a managerial position or in an influential position begins to develop specific opinions and shares them on the digital platform, it can become disastrous and it can create various types of situations. We've seen it. I'm sure there's a number of examples. But the phenomenal power of shaping perceptions every day is unparalleled.
Okay. So then now, I mean, tell me, as we slowly but surely going to the end of the show. I mean, what opportunities are there? Any opportunities for growth in the advertising and marketing space in South Africa?
Absolutely, in my opinion. There is a very big gap for large black-owned groups to occupy in this country. And there's just so much to do. I just think that it's that notion that you're talking about. It's us as professionals identifying ourselves as the correct people to actually build those phenomenal businesses and build those phenomenal brands. And I think because of that, and because of the limited people that are trained to be professional marketers at good schools,
mm-hmm.
there'll be that gap for us to just literally flourish.
Mm.
And yeah, as we address all the other issues we discussed, I'm sure something will happen.
Yeah, no, yeah. Definitely. Bulelani, tell me, in terms of now, the space you're in, you decided to become creative and go about publishing an audiobook instead of a book,
yeah,
and even get it registered. I mean, do you think is there an opportunity for growth for a couple of other people that are listening out there to get into the same space?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's definitely growth. Looked at it from a perspective, Yoguti, you know, when I'm speaking at different events,
mm-hmm.
this is the material that people want all the time. So people have been asking for this material. And I mean, I've been following trends internationally. This is what people would be playing. I mean, on, for instance, radio shows, different presenters would play clips before they go on of international speakers in that particular space, the inspirational space and the motivational space. Then I thought to myself, but I mean, we don't have anything in this country on that same capacity or same level where someone will actually go into a studio, cook up, you know, a thing, a motivational audio, and then have it be something that's unconventional, where you have your cinematic composer there creating, you know, the scores and all that stuff, and then you have a band that side creating the much softer notes to whatever you need to put together and then develop and grow. So I really feel good to see there is a space. It's just not, it's going to be a little bit hard. For instance, for us, it's always hard for the guy who starts it first. Easier for all the other guys at the back.
Yeah.
But I know that there's a huge market because we're selling hope to people and we're selling the ideal of a change perspective and empowerment.
So now you're selling hope. Can you give us a piece? I mean, we've been speaking about, I want to play a clip called Get Things Done, but it's actually, I want to close with it.
Yeah.
So, but can you give us a piece or make up a piece in regards of something or someone in the creative space?
Oh wow, someone in the creative space. I think
or about the creative space.
Are you about to rap?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I'll give you a beat.
See Deb, oh, sitting right there. Nah, like, I mean, oh wow, you're putting me on the spot, eh?
I mean, you are Mr. Get Things Done, right?
Let's do so it. Let's get it involved. Let's get it done.
Oh wow. I'm so shy. Nah, man, like, I mean, you know, when you, like, can I take anything from the audio?
No, you can.
Then I did on the audio. So on the audio, we've got one of the items or the tracks that I've got that is called How Bad Do You Want It? And How Bad Do You Want It focuses on, it's something that I derived from my life, you know, growing up and being in business and all that stuff. I had to want it that bad. You know, I come from the kind of background where we're sharing underwear, we're sharing clothes, we're sharing this, sharing that. There was no proper food or proper guidance or proper mentorship. And when I look at my business, there was no mentorship when I started. There was no Facebook. There was no Twitter when I started. I was only 17, 9.5 years ago when I started doing business. So when I wrote this and I put this together, it was insight in mind and insight of that. Good to, how bad do you want it? Because if you really want it bad, then you're going to, you know, you're going to sit in the reception and wait for that CEO to come out.
Are you now giving us the piece?
Yeah, I'm doing my thing.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, how bad do you want it? Because if you really want it bad, then you're going to sit at that reception and wait for a CEO. And that's also something I did, actually. I waited like 5 hours for the gentleman to come out, and he did. How bad do you want it? I mean, if you really want it that bad, then you're going to sit in that reception and wait for your opportunity to come. The thing about success is that success only favors the brave. And if you want it bad enough, I mean, if people can sleep outside the venues the day before just to meet someone perform, how's about you sleep outside opportunities and wait for your opportunity to climb upon the podium and be the one who performs? The thing about life is that we see a lot of people thinking that they were born to only watch other people become successful. But no one was birthed to watch other people become successful, but you were born to come here and play in the game of life. Let's think about it this way. if the four people in this room had to actually live their life to their full potential and live their life to that full zenith, would actually live a fantastic life, because that idea that you think you'd have would be propelled to crazy and dizzy heights.
Mm.
But we think it's success when one person out of four reaches for the stars and the rest just plummet to, you know, nothingness.
Mm.
But how bad do you want it to be your motivation for when you're sitting in meetings, when you're sitting in boardrooms and you're looking for that big dream? Mm. How bad do you want it to be that inspiration when, you know, you're creating and you're developing new concepts and ideas and they keep being shattered down by the client and you have to go back to your creative team and develop new ideas and new concepts? Mm. And it seems like you've reached a creative block, but it's all about how bad do you want it. And how I break down the word bad, it's boldly accessing dreams. If you want it bad enough, nothing is going to stand in your way and you're really going to kick those
fired
because you really want it bad. You really want it bad because you need to understand one thing, that the reason why life seems to be easy for the guys that it seems easy for now is because they had laid a foundation 5-10 years ago. Now they're just living off the fruits of how bad they wanted it. So when you see me showing up in a Bentley or a Rolls Royce, that is evidence of how bad I wanted it. Now show us how bad you want it. How bad do you want it?
Wow. No. That's good. No, that's power. That's power. Garabo?
I can't rhyme, but I have a personal philosophy.
Okay.
Let's do great things. I am all about pushing yourself to the last limit and really finding out. And it's really more than anything, it's challenging yourself and no one else at how excellent you can be. And that's my personal philosophy.
Challenge yourself.
Yeah.
Wow. And I know that is consistent. It's not the first time hearing that.
Really?
And this was like 3 years ago when he said that.
Challenge yourself.
Yeah.
So you are how bad you want it.
Then how bad do you want?
Yeah. Oh, how bad do you
how
want?
How bad do you want to challenge yourself?
Collabo.
So, I don't know which one do I take? Which one do I take?
You know what you remind me of now? When you're so confused and you don't know which one to take, you remind me of Jim Ely.
Yeah.
Middle center.
No, it's definitely true. I mean, more than anything, what I'm into, okay, let me take this one. People buy you before they buy you sell.
Mm.
So it's important to work on your craft, to invest in yourself, because more than anything, people want value.
Mm.
If you've got no value to give this world, the world has got no value to give or contribute to you. So you need to work on yourself, empower yourself, invest in yourself, and work on your craft. The person that you watch on that TV daily worked and mastered their craft so good that they wanted to be on the TV. That's why you watch them make money instead of you making money. Take an hour, take 30 minutes of that day, contribute it in yourself, contribute it in putting value in yourself so that you're able to give the world value. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all we had for you today on 360 Biz here on cliffcentral.com. I'm going to be closing with an audio from my boy, Budelan, and actually hear how, okay, this one is what? What do we call this one? Get things done. And it's all about getting things done.
Get things done. I need you to think about your life. Now, seriously, just take a second, take a moment, just think about your life. Are you happy about the person that you are growing into? Are you happy about where you are in life? I know you sit up at night and you think up all these great ideas. Man, you've got plans. You think up this great vision that you have to move your life forward and to move your life into a position of success. But the reality that you face each and every day is that even as you work, even as you walk, even as you talk, you know that you are settling for average. And you hate yourself for this every day because you know that you can be greater. You know that there is greatness locked up inside you. Thoughts have never changed anything. You don't sit on your sofa. You don't sit on your couch, stare at the TV and hope the channel will change. But what I need you to do is that you need to get up and you need to get things done. You need to snatch the remote away from complacency and laziness. And you need to change the channel of your life. And you need to change the channel channel into a channel of success, into a channel of endurance, into a channel of wealth. Successful and powerful people live by the simple motto of getting things done. You see, I need you to understand one thing. You're not living this life by chance or by mistake. You're not a spectator. You're not here to watch other people succeed. You're not here to watch other people become thought leaders and become wealthy and become number one. But you are here to participate in the game of life. Your problem is that you tire out too quickly. Your problem is that you give up too quickly. If you need to sleep on porches, if you need to sleep on sidewalks, if you need to sleep on doorways, you do that because you want to advance your life. If you need to sleep later and wake up earlier, you do that because you want to advance your life. The marriage between thoughts and action breeds success and wealth. You need to change your perception. You need to change your mindset. And you need to change your surroundings so that you can become the person that you were born to be. But it all starts by you changing your mind, and it starts by you getting things done. Unleash what God has placed in you, and you need to today get up and get things done.
This is CliffCentral.com.